He pioneered Jets blogging and podcasting. He brought smiles to the faces of Jets fans all over the world. He was there through the good and bad. And then, one day, he vanished. People far and wide wondered, where has he gone? When will he return? Thankfully, the answer is now. The OG of Jets podcasting and vlogging is back.
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
This is There's Always Next Year with Brian Bassett.
I'm back. The real me. Let's not make a whole thing of it.
And his co-hosts, Chef Travis Milton.
Today we're going to be making the students my tasty baked ziti with basil and fresh mozzarella.
And Josh Conrad.
Oh, my brother, testify.
On Turn on the Jets Digital.
Welcome back to There's Always Next Year, the most aptly named Jets podcast on the planet. I am your host, Brian Bassett, and you can follow me on Twitter at Brian_Bassett. And with me, as always, are Josh Conrad, who you can find on Twitter at Josh_Conrad, and Travis Milton, who you can follow in all of his jubilant excesses on Twitter at -37board27, because his Dodgers just clinched World Series invite. So congratulations.
Woo! How did it feel
to go from a shutout to the Miami Dolphins to total celebration of the Dodgers within a 12-hour period of time?
Definitely some ups and downs in emotional roller coaster, kind of a HBO drama comedy kind of redemption arc for a character. That's kind of the way it felt.
Yeah,
it's like my hero's journey in a day.
Yeah, nice. So how would you classify, we're talking a little bit before we started taping here, you're a Jets fan and a Dodgers fan. Obviously, like we all have other teams that we follow and enjoy, but when you used to order the priorities, order of operations of your fandom, where were the Jets, let's say 5-10 years ago versus where the Dodgers are now comparatively?
5-10 years ago, the Dodgers were pretty okay. I mean, we weren't amazing, but the Jets have pretty much always like superseded. Like if I have the option to watch the Jets or the Dodgers, historically, I've always gone Jets. Like I will put on the Jets game before I'll put on the Dodgers game. But I would say, 10 years, yeah, that's the way it was. 5 years ago, it started to shift a little bit, and the Dodgers started creeping up as more of a priority. But I swear, like the past 2 years, I will in a heartbeat skip a Jets game for a Dodgers game and not even think about it or feel bad. Like I will immediately turn on my Dodgers. Great product, great team. Like why would I sit there and watch just a piece of crap game and miss seeing like Cody Bellinger hitting home runs and Mookie Betts killing it and making great catches, and it's good, it's nice, it's exciting to see a team play good. That's why we root for these teams.
Josh, how do you feel? I'm guessing you have a similar situation where you have to deprioritize things. And I think this is all getting to a point, I promise you, our fair listener. But Josh, how do you feel about your loyalties towards fans or about teams that you're a fan of and priorities and that sort of thing?
Listen, when we were all younger, like we were gluttons for punishment, you would just turn your team's game on and just stay. Like you would just stay and, what else did you have to do other than like reorganize the ramen on your shelf and the ice trays in your freezer and check your baseball card collection? Like there wasn't much. And then as we've all grown, as we've either gotten married or started businesses or opened restaurants and, all the things that we do, like there's just a point at which you're like, I just want to watch something enjoyable. And so for me, like it's been a steady decline for the Jets. Like I most of my teams are kind of New York, Connecticut based, and I would choose almost every other team to watch, especially right now when everything's on at the same time. Like when there's if there was a Yankees playoff game and a Jets regular season game, like the Yankee playoff game is going to win. But I'm also pretty sure like the Yankee preseason game would have won against the Jets right now. Like, this is the ultimate litmus test, is when there's six options, how badly do I really want to watch this Jets game? Like, I turned it off. I texted you guys. I turned it off at 21-0 yesterday. It took my family for ice cream, had my kid eat a ton of friggin' ice cream, run around, jump in my arms, puke down my chest, and it was still more enjoyable than staying on the couch and watching the Jets get shut out to the Dolphins.
That seems reasonable. That seems reasonable to me. Yeah. I would rather be thrown up on by a small person than watch the Jets throw up on me. Adam Gase and the Jets throw up on me for sure. And so, yeah, so that's the point here, is that this team, you know, people talk about love and hate, and, you know, like love is the hate is the opposite of love. And that is not true, right? Apathy is the opposite of love. And so I think, you know, we are sliding into dangerous territory with this organization of just apathy, right? Of its fan base, like just whatever. And right. So this organization is, I mean, I see more tweets from people who have no connection to the Jets whatsoever, just saying things like, you know, how do fans even do this? You know, whether you're in technology or you're interested in sports, like I see this posted all over Twitter on Sunday afternoons, and it's like, I don't know what I can tell you, right? It's just this stupid blind loyalty that I have to this team, and I don't know what for, because our biggest bone of contention with this organization for the last 2 years since they started talking to this head coach was Adam Gase. And after a 24-0 loss to the Miami Dolphins, basically, I think the best shot they had, now they'll probably surprise somebody at some point. Somebody will, you know, stop, you know, they'll look past the Jets game and maybe the Jets surprise them. But that was their best shot between now and the end of the season for a win. And yet, Adam Gase is still not fired. So why?
Yeah.
I need to know. Josh, tell me, why is Adam Gase on
still
Monday?
Still employed. Yeah.
Still employed. Like, why is he still employed? Is this a galaxy brain? Like, we don't want to get in the way of this epic tank job? Or what is going on?
I mean, that's where, I mean, you nailed it. I think it's just general organizational apathy. Like, I think there is something about Woody Johnson maybe coming back if he's no longer the UK ambassador. Like, they're not looking to do anything. And it's seeping out in strange ways. I don't know if you guys caught Frank Gore's post game, but he kind of just parroted the Adam Gase. Listen, if you saw us at practice on Wednesday and Thursday, you wouldn't know that this was a winless team. And you're like, wait a second, like consummate pro, like going to compete until they drag him off the field, Frank Gore, feels the same way as our Jets head coach. Like, it, the only person who seems to be standing up to anything is Greg friggin' Williams. Like, he's the only guy that's making, like, he's the only guy that's taking any shots. Like, what is happening, guys?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, it's insane that we're at this point. And yes, we need to discuss Greg Williams in a second, but Travis, do you have any thoughts on what's going on? Is this Joe D just riding it out until the end of the season and just, hey, if it's, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, like kind of a situation? Like, he wants them to run the table on 0-16, or what is happening?
I mean, I think the only way that you can like legitimately justify what's going on is exactly what Josh said. And, you know, I'd love to come up with like a funny, stupid reason that was actually true, but like that's the only thing that I can think of, just the epic tank. And to be honest, like if there's a year that you want to go ahead and tank, it's the year that you don't have fans in the seats. Like you're not sacrificing people going to these games because they can't anyway. So I guess to an extent, it's pretty smart that if you're going to tank that hard, this is the year. But man, I don't know. I'm running out of excuses, ways to like rationalize the shit in my brain. It's amazingly horrible.
Yeah. And I think that's it. I do think that the public pressure that the ownership would feel. And again, like, before I even get to that, people are saying, like, why is Jody doing this? Like, why is he doing this? And Jody's not doing this, right? As far as we know, this organization is parallel structured, and that, you know, the decision to stay or go is not at the discretion of the general manager, unless there's been a power shift that we're unaware of. You know, that lies with the, you know, the upper management, let's call it, you know, ownership, and maybe, you know, the president of the team and that sort of thing. So Adam Gase being here is largely because, right, no one's going to the Coliseum and hearing the cheers or the boos, right? Like, they're going to the game or they're watching at home, and they're not getting the boos that they would get. And I understand that this game was played in Miami, but if you've ever been to or watched a Jets game in Miami, it's mostly Jets fans. Now, that will change if this team is actually, you know, turns it around in Miami, but you know, they would have been booing Gase in Miami as Jets fans if that was the case. And I honestly think, had that stadium been half filled with Jets fans booing Adam Gase, as Jets fans, not as Miami fans, let me be very clear about that, that could have been the straw. But right, if you're not going to fire him after this, there is no reason that this organization would do it. Just see it through to the end. And, you know, which totally means that they'll actually, you know, their nerve will fade between now and the end of the season, and they'll actually do it, because I think they won't. We need to talk about Greg Williams. We also need to talk about, there was some news about Steve McClendon, which we will get to. But first, I want you guys, I saw this amazing tweet. I'll try and pull it up again, but it had all the offensive rankings of Adam Gase as a head coach. But before we even get to that, what do you think the QBR of one Joe Flacco was yesterday, Josh Conrad? What do you think his QBR was? Not QB rating, QBR, right, according to ESPN.
This is the 1 to 100 scale, correct?
Correct.
I'm going to go with a solid score of 7.
That's very close. That's very close. Oh, it's actually 11. So well done. That's pretty close. I mean, Joe Flacco,
he's exceeding expectations in my book.
Yeah. 21 for 44, 186 yards, 0 touchdowns.
44 passes.
Yeah. 1 interception, 3 sacks.
Lord help us.
It's not good. It's not good. What did you think about the Steve McClendon move last night, Mr. Conrad?
Yeah, listen, good for him. Like, he deserves to be in a place where he can compete for a title. That guy has just shown up and been a pro. Really, I've always really liked McClendon. I think he's 35, 34, 35, somewhere in there. And listen, like, this might be his last great shot at this. So I'm hopeful for him. And so, man, I just want him to win. And listen, like, there is probably a part of this that's like, you know, let's unload some talent where we can get a pick or two. You know, it seems like Douglas is kind of in that mode now. And so, listen, like, if there are places where Chris Herndon can thrive, if there's a place where, geez, Frank Gore can thrive, and you can get anything for a guy like that, right, it's just worth doing at this point as an organization. But then just happy for Steve, honestly, just wish that guy the best.
Yeah. Yeah, Travis just took a little turn in and out of the mini mart there. That's why you heard the ding dong. Travis, any thoughts on Steve McClendon being traded? Do we care? I mean, effectively they cut him, they get a pick in 2021 and a send back in 2022, with a send back in 2023 late pick. Do we care at all about this?
It really sucks losing a guy that was, like, such a leader and such a good guy in the locker room. But, I mean, I guess at this point, like, yeah, I'm stoked to see him. You know, just like Le'Veon Bell, I'm stoked to see these guys getting out of here and going to a team where they can start getting some wins and feeling good, especially, like, Steve. I mean, the dude's, like, 34, 35. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm stoked for him. I think that it really sucks for the Jets locker room. But, I mean, at this point, you know, what does it even matter? Again, the apathy.
Yeah. And again, like, that's the side of the house that Joe Douglas controls. And I mean, you know, there is a chance that he never gets to use that pick himself, depending on how things go. Now, the fact that he's trading away Steve McClendon instead of cutting him and getting, you know, a 2022 pick, you know, I don't know. I have to at least put that in my, is this signal or is this noise, you know, kind of whatever, sifter to try and figure out. Like, to me, that seems pretty clear that, I mean, I understand he's helping the organization long term, and that's what GMs should do. And that's the, you know, that's the right move, is, you know, get yourself something down the road rather than cutting a player like Le'Veon Bell. But at the same time, like, you know, would he ever even use that pick? Because it's effectively two drafts away. If you're going to get someone like Trevor Lawrence, or, you know, there's a pretty good crop of quarterbacks that might be available, even if Lawrence stays in school again, you know, it's the signal is he thinks he's going to have the time to use that pick eventually. I think I agree completely with you all on terms of let him go and join an organization that's actually winning games, because this head coach is certainly not. I saw this tweet from Kevin Patra this morning, who tweeted, he's at NFL Network, and he effectively tweeted just good morning. And then it was a picture, like a graphic probably used on NFL Network. It says Adam Gase total offense, and it gives you basically the year, and then, you know, his rank as a either offensive coordinator or head coach. This is all his post Broncos years, which I think is fitting, right? And this is that's the numbers we should be looking at, not the time when Peyton Manning was effectively the offensive coordinator in Denver. So 2015, 21st. 2016 in Chicago as the offensive coordinator. 2016, Miami head coach, 24th. 2017, 25th. 2018, 31st. 2019, last. Current season, he's 31st in total offense. So yes, this, you know, the stories of who this person are, you know, vastly overrated. But I'm curious to know from you guys, we talked a little bit about Greg Williams. Are we shocked that Greg Williams is fracturing from his coach, or was this all a misunderstanding the way he kind of played it to the press after the game, that, hey, you know, we believe the same things. Maybe he said what we, you know, he said this was about what he was, his quote was about that this is about three phases, and that, you know, we're good. We talk all the time. We're good. But I don't know. Are you guys buying that, or are you not buying that?
I love something that resembles any sort of passion in the midst of all of this complete apathy and lukewarmness. And so, if Greg Williams decides to start to chirp about Adam Gase's offense going three and out, you know, 80% of the time, and that tiring down his defense and makes him look bad, and he's firing shots through his Zoom calls, and then Gase is firing back with shut up and play, I am here for it, boys. I am all in for the complete meltdown of this coaching staff. And listen, like, Greg's got a point. Like, if you know, if his defense is back on the field 5 minutes after getting off the field, you know, because of three and outs, because of hyperdrive, because of where offenses are going, like, he's got a point. Like, and so if he's going to be angling still for a future job, either with this organization or another one after this, like, he's doing what he really should do at this point, which is, listen, this isn't all on me. It's not just because the defense is bad. It's because we're constantly being put in bad positions. And so go talk to the offensive guy about how it's affecting the defense. And then we can have the conversation. So I, you know, ultimately it's a lot about nothing. There's ineptitude on both sides of the ball. But I don't think Greg Williams was out of place saying, listen, don't pin this all on me. Like, there's more going on here than just than our defense not playing well.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
Hey guys, sorry to cut in for a quick second. Just want to thank everybody who's listening to There's Always Next Year and let you know about the fact that winning season is back at MyBookie. Right now, the NFL, college football, and baseball playoffs are all going on. No shortage of games to watch and thousands of lines available on your favorite sports and events. And you can turn these games you're watching into a payday with MyBookie. Use the promo code OVERTIME and claim a deposit match dollar for dollar all the way up to $1,000. It's a bonus designed to give you a little help and a head start on your winning season. That's promo code OVERTIME for you to claim your bonus when you make your first deposit. And for the future, I highly recommend betting on whoever's playing the Jets. So that'll make you plenty of money right now at MyBookie. Remember, use the promo code OVERTIME and you can claim a deposit match dollar for dollar all the way up to $1,000 on your first deposit. All right, Brian, sorry to hijack the show for a second. The floor is yours, sir.
Have you guys ever seen the movie Moneyball? I mean, I read the book a million years
ago. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Sure have.
So in the movie Moneyball, there's this great moment where Billy Bean, Brad Pitt, is talking to Art Howe, Philip Seymour Hoffman, and he's Billy, the GM, is trying to, you know, tell him how he needs to set up his team and the whole thing. And Art Howe's simple response is just this, which is, I'm not going to get it exactly right, but listen, I'm setting up the lineup so that I can explain myself next off season when I'm looking for a job. Right. Like,
yeah.
Like it's for me, I don't remember reading that or reading about that in Moneyball, or it didn't impact me when I read the book, you know, 15 years ago, but seeing that in that movie, like for whatever reason, just had this haunting and chilling effect on me that like you have coaches who, despite whatever the situation is, despite knowing that, you know, a certain player might be better, you know, even if, you know, they're not as highly regarded or whatever the situation is, that you're going to play out coaching decisions in a way that could negatively impact your team's ability to actually win, for the sole purpose of being able to just tell that narrative, you know, down the road, or be on the right side of history as far as you're concerned. Like that was a fascinating movie, and I love that movie, but that was probably one of the most chilling moments. And I don't know if it's true or not. I don't know if Art Howe did it, but you know, I could certainly see that situation playing out. Is that kind of what you feel like you're seeing here with Greg Williams? He's just like, listen, we're done. This organization is, you know, is going to be wiped away, you know, by a storm this coming off season. And all I'm doing is just trying to get, you know, get on the right side of this narrative. Like, do you feel like that's part of what's happening inside the organization? Or do you think he's actually trying to make a larger play for the head coaching duties of this team extending past this season?
I don't think that he's trying to make a play to become, you know, a coach, you know, the head coach of the Jets or anything like that. I mean, I really think that he's on like short timer syndrome. Like, it's just like, you know, when you put in your 1 month notice at work and, you know, you get like 2 weeks into that and you're like, well, I mean, fuck it. Like, what? I'm not going to be here in two weeks. What does it matter? Like, I'm going to speak my mind. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. You know, what are they going to do? Fire me? Like, that's kind of where he's at, you know, because to this point, if either of them were going to get fired, it probably would have already happened today at the latest going into the bye. But, you know, so what's going to happen to him if he speaks his mind a little bit? And to be honest, like, he's 100% valid looking at, you know, yesterday the defense wasn't great by any means, but they were okay, especially in comparison to the offense. I mean, sweet Jesus, you know, the guy's got a freaking point. On the flip side, I have a maxim that I live by, or I have multiple maxims, but one of these is never trust a man with frosted tips and a visor, especially if they're over 50. Greg Williams
fits Guy Fieri
every single bit of that. So, you know,
Flavor I'm not putting Town
anything past that.
Yeah. Is there a Flavor Town corollary to that maxim? Because if there isn't, there should be.
No, that's the thing. I actually like Guy Fieri is actually a really good dude. And I say this like in the context of like he does like great humanitarian stuff, especially for mm-hmm. the restaurant industry. But another one of those maxims is if you were friends with Sammy Hagar, I cannot like you at all. And then taking that a step further, I know we've said this before. If you're friends with Smash Mouth, I mean, this dude is like Guy Fieri. I can never be friends with this guy. Respect the hell out of him, but I feel like
yeah.
Greg Williams is getting into that territory.
Yeah, I think that's fair. That's completely fair.
You also just described 40% of the population of St. Petersburg, Florida.
I was going to say it's got to be Florida.
Shout out the Tampa Bay area.
Oh yeah, I'm I think I've told you guys that we're getting a dog, and so we're getting a dog in like early December, and just this is the levels of insanity of my life that we're actually going to drive to Ocala, Florida to get a dog. Oh yeah, it's a long haul, and I have a friend
deep in Orange Country.
Oh yeah. Oh, it's Orange Country. So we're going down there. We're going to pick up this dog, and I'm trying to figure out a place to stay either like on the way up or the way back.
Yes.
And I have a friend who lives in Tampa, and I'm just like my best friend. And I'm still like, you know, I just don't want to go to Tampa, St. Pete. I can't do it with the visors and the frosted tips. And I can't do it. I can't do it.
Everybody in Valdosta, Georgia, start hitting up your boy. Tell him where he should eat on his drive.
Fair enough. Okay, what else are we supposed to talk about for this team? I mean, was there any redeeming good things out of this game? I have one or two. Before maybe one question that I've seen that's been tearing Jets fandom apart is looking back on the Robbie Anderson, Breshad Perriman dichotomy, do we ever look back? Do we have regrets of letting Robbie Anderson go, or do we just you got to move forward? No regrets, as you would say. How are we supposed to do we care? Would it have made a difference on this season if Robbie Anderson was on this team?
I think it would have made a difference for Sam Darnold. You know, in retrospect, I think I was somewhat like apathetic. I keep using that word, but to the transaction, I was like, you know, Perriman, you know, if he works out, he's going to be about what Robbie was. But you know, seeing how important he's been in Carolina, and also just knowing like how good of a rapport he and Sam had been building. You know, I look back on it, and that's definitely a regret.
Regret, no regret. You have a regret. What do you think, Josh?
Yeah, I don't know if it would have made a huge amount of difference this season in terms of wins and losses. I do think it makes a difference in just Sam's outlook on his future with this organization. Thinking if they're going to surround him with talent. I mean, you look across the league. You look at Josh Allen. You look at, even Baker Mayfield. Like, you look at guys literally in Sam's draft class or near Sam's draft class, and you look at all the capital that those teams have spent to get those guys weapons, and the Jets just let Robbie walk. And so I don't even know that I disagree with that decision at this point. At the time, I think I was on board with letting Robbie walk, thinking his cost versus the production we had seen and trying to project mm-hmm. what that would look like over a 4-year, $50 million contract perhaps seemed a little bit iffy. And so on a business side, I think they made a right decision. But also on a business side, I don't know that they really endeared themselves to their franchise quarterback. And so if Robbie Anderson is now, you know, amongst the five best wide receivers production-wise in the league with a guy like Teddy Bridgewater as his quarterback, you have to imagine that with Sam with a healthy team, he was probably going to have a similar level of production. But if I'm Darnold, my bigger concern is that this team doesn't seem interested in putting guys around me to help me succeed. And that's ultimately what I think makes a guy want to move on.
Yeah. Here's what I'll say about Robbie Anderson. I think it's a little early for folks on Twitter to be taking victory laps on Robbie Anderson. He has been productive. I am not negating that in any sense of the word, but like, let's also remember that he's, you know, he's sharing a field with DJ Moore, who is one of the best prospects of the last 5 years. Curtis Samuel, who is a kind of a decoy at this point, I guess. I don't know. He has some value there, but you know, and then of course, you know, when healthy, CMC, but Mike Davis is doing a pretty good Christian McCaffrey kind of impression during McCaffrey's absence. So like, you know, when you go to a site like Football Outsiders and you're looking at, you know, either per play efficiency or, you know, overall efficiency, you know, Anderson is, even if his production is very high, he's still ranking, you know, in kind of, you know, like 36, like low 30s in terms of like his efficiency. So like, hey, he's a great guy. He was a great player for the Jets. He did a lot for the organization. He was committed. He wanted to stay. But you know, like let's check in on this again a year from now and see where Anderson is. So like, again, could he have helped this organization? Absolutely. Not denying that at all. And probably the $2 million price differential was not worth letting him go. I will easily say that. What I won't say is that this guy is going to be an alpha receiver for the next even two years, you know, in this league. Like, he's not going to keep this production pace up. I can't imagine it. I don't know. All right. Whatever. Anything else to talk about today, fellas? Do you guys have any topics for me?
LaMichael Pirine got some carries. He finally got a little bit of run.
Okay. Yeah. What'd you see there? Did you like it?
No, I mean, it looked better than, you know,
7 for 27.
It's at least getting the guy. Getting on the field, getting some reps, like if nothing else, like you spent a pretty decent draft piece on a running back. And so you got to see what you have there. And so that was at least slightly encouraging seeing him play.
Yeah. Any thoughts, Travis?
What do you think a Flavortown movie would be like? I mean, like an animated feature, like with manhole made of pizza and like, I mean, what do you think Flavortown is like?
I think it would be more like Chinatown, but like, you know, the ending line would be
movie.
Like, yeah, forget it, kid. This is Flavortown, right? And then just walk away while eating like jalapeno double fried poppers. I think that's how the movie would end.
Okay.
That's the only part of the Flavortown movie that needs to happen. Okay, let me just say here. I have been to, I don't know what the name of the restaurant is, but I'll just call it Flavortown in Norfolk, Virginia. That, like, he has weaponized restaurants is probably the best way I could describe it. Like, you go in, you walk in, it's a pretty good experience. You know, like the food is, you know, certainly not, you know, going to get rave reviews on the, you know, whatever, from a New York Times critic. Like, I fully get it. But like, they have weaponized what America wants in a restaurant in every discernible way, from the playlist, you know, it's super curated. And so it's hard to go into a place like that and not be like, okay, like I see what you're doing here. I'm impressed. Like, I get what you're trying to do to me, and I get how you've put bacon in every dish and it does taste delicious. I'm not saying that's not true. What I am saying is, like, this is almost like weaponized. It's like they've algorithmic, like Facebook, right? Like, they've algorithmically figured out how to get me to enjoy any dish that they might have had. Is that a fair statement, Travis, would you say?
Yeah, I would say that's fairly accurate. Have you ever seen the fake menu? Well, hold on. So when Gaffieri opened his restaurant in New York,
in Times Square,
someone bought the domain name that he was looking for and posted a fake menu on the page. Have you ever seen it?
No.
Okay. Let me read off a couple of these because I have this saved on my phone.
Yeah, it's good.
Read off a couple of these fake menu items. So first off, we've got under the appetizer portion, the Hobo Lobo Bordello Slam Jam appetizer.
seems accurate.
Here's the description. We take 38 ounces of super saddened cheese gutted wolf meat, lambast it with honey pickle wasabi, and pile drive it into an Ed Hardy designed bucket sprayed with Axe body spray and finished with a demi gloss of big and funky mushroom dribblings.
Dribblings? Oh, dribblings. I like that.
Yeah. I want to play the game of.
Do you get to keep the Ed Hardy bucket?
Yeah.
Do you keep that? Okay, good. Oh, yeah. Well, then I'm in.
Oh, yeah.
We should play the game of real Guy Fieri item or fake. We should play that game.
That sounds good. That sounds like a bye week. That sounds like a bye week item. Yeah, we should go.
Yeah.
We'll all find and research real and fakes. And then, I'm in. We will definitely do that. Can you read me one more fake item, please? I need to hear one more
fake item. This is the Honky Tonky Double Barrel Meat Loaded Blast.
I think I had that. Yeah.
A Sammy Hagar lookalike pushes your face into a leather bag filled with oil, and if you eat the whole thing, you get a 13-pound hamburger.
That's the reward?
Yeah.
Leather bag filled with oil.
Oh, man. These are so good.
I like it. I like it. All right. We're going to play that next week. I'm here for this. All right, gentlemen, thank you for your time. Thank you for your service to this podcast community. Everyone, please go send all your kudos and thanks to the Play Like a Jet feed. Please like, review, subscribe, send to your friends. There's not a lot left to talk about. Maybe we'll spend the rest of the season just talking about Avery Williamson and how and Neville Arthur and how great they're playing. I don't know what else we'll talk about. We'll just have to go from here. Or Neville Hewitt, excuse me, not Neville Arthur. Neville Arthur's on Twitter. I don't know where we go from here. So we need suggestions. Please reach out to us. Thanks. Have a great week. We will see you next week. Adios.
Go Dodgers.
Dodgers in five.